The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's the 2nd of March, 2026. We are moving toward deep into 2026, and there is a lot of things happening. Good morning. Where are you? Where are you finding yourself? We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is Eagle FM. And, you know, it's the beginning of a new month. It's the beginning of the new month, so it's very important also to look at what do we have, in the continent of Africa, what do we have in the world, what do we have in the country, and you know, at the international level, there is a lot of negative news. So it's important to start with the good news, particularly at home. We are speaking about Namibian football team, especially our ladies, that is Brave Gladiators, which made history yesterday by beating South African Banyana Banyana at Hollywood Bets Kosafa Women Champions in Polokwane, the you know, Peter Mokaba Stadium. It was a very interesting it was a very interesting match to watch, especially from the beginning. And I realize that Namibia, we still have talent. We are still end of the brave. And football, like any other sport, is one of the things which you know, unite us. And it's also telling you to say, young people, they are not just in the street dancing. They are not just sitting on top of the podiums. But once you give them opportunity, they will be able to shine. And this is also indicating, and it's also giving a motivation, particularly to the young ladies who are, you know, at the village, maybe aiming one day to play soccer. But there is no opportunity or chances. Let's hope those stadiums, particularly level 2, you know, CAF standard, as it has been indicated last year, to be built across all the regions, and also to see what will happen. And you know, watching Namibia coming back from 1-0 to 2-0, almost 3, and I was listening to commentators, and you know, when you are commentating and you are at home, you also look at where you wanted the game to drive into. But they finally admitted that you know, Namibian ladies, they have a high level of professionalism. And we thank those who scored the goals, and also those who supported, and also our legend Coleman. And be able to see ladies like Hanavi and Memory Konda. The way they score their goals, you think is, you know, those superstars that you always watch from England. But it's really telling you, and that is a message. The president is very happy. Deputy Minister of Sport, Innovation, Sport Education, and all those, you know, Innovation, Art and Culture, Dino Barotti, said, you know, let's go to Jose Akutako, and also welcome, you know, the Brave Gladiators, and they will be bright today. I don't know where, but it's actually a very good thing. And we also thank, thank the coach, because, Lucky Kakuva, making us proud, is always a good thing to say. No matter what is happening in the world, there is always something to celebrate. And it's not the first time Namibian team winning COSAFA. I think this is the second time, different, you know, team, because the men's team during Maneti, we also won the COSAFA. And you'll be able to see that this is also giving motivation to say, once, opportunities are given, Namibians will be able to perform. And also when it comes to the economy of sport, it's not only entertainment, but also for people to make a living. And let's hope 2026 will be that year that we don't only celebrate goals, but we celebrate talent. And also we make sure that, you know, those who are able to represent us, either is boxing, either is sprinting. But when it comes to boxing, I'm not seeing any movement. I'm not seeing any movements apart from, you know, my friend Maninga Getrich and the Boreros them, but I'm not seeing where are our champions. Where are our champions? Are the guys getting sponsorship? Are they in the form? And is it going down, or we are yet to start in 2026? But you know, that should already indicate to you that we are still there, and we can be able, if we can beat Banyana Banyana, let us get to Nigeria next time, because they are champions. Let us get to Nigeria next time, and also others, so we can be able to see who will be able to present those talents. And today, before we look at what is happening around the world, because it's war everywhere, particularly in the Middle East. The Middle East is burning, and I don't know for how long. Ayatollah Khomeini, the supreme leader of Iran, was killed in the weekend, and other top leadership of Iranian Revolutionary Guards. But you'll be able to see that there's a lot of fights going on, a lot of rockets being launched. Israel is burning, the neighbors are burning. There is no flight. The flights are on standby from Qatar Airlines, Emirates, Etihad. There is no freight who is in the air. It's only the jets, the rockets, the Tomahawks, and the drones. And, you know, the transport of oil is on standby. Transport of oil is on standby. And no ship going or coming out of the Gulf. And that is hosting. Some are indicating it's 20 to 30% of global oil. And it's the heart of, you know, global logistics. And, you know, there's a lot of things happening. And the Namibian embassy in Egypt has given an advisory for Namibians to be cautious, and also Namibians who find themselves in the Middle East to be cautious, and also when they need assistance too, to contact the phones, you know, given. And what is also indicated, is that they must make sure that, you know, their transport documents, their passports, they are up to date. And the good thing is that so far, there is no Namibians reported to have been, you know, either injured or either become a casualty of what is happening in the Middle East. And those are the communication, particularly looking at the Namibian embassy in Cairo, and also to indicate that those who find themselves in the Middle East, you should not only rely on yourself, but adhere to updates and stop that movement, because the big boys of global politics are fighting, and the question is always to say what will happen to the developing nations. And also, so my question now is, you know, I don't know, with those who have been at the center of advocating for climate change, I don't know how that going to be the contribution to climate change, because but you see the rockets, the chemicals and everything, I don't know, because if you look at those who were speaking at EU African Summit, indicate that the world is upside down, the one who are saying we are going to put more rockets there, those who were speaking at the World Economic Forum, indicating to say the world must come to order and the global south must also unite, the one who are saying we are going to put more fire, then you're asking yourself to say, Africans, why can't you look at ourselves? You are on your own. Why can't you look at yourself and also develop your own country. And also my concern has always been to say, to African immigrants, because, looking at Interpol, records, and also looking at international migration organizations, is to say for the past 5 years or so, there have been an increment in the numbers of Africans leaving the continent, particularly going to the Middle East, because everybody's aiming to go to Dubai, to go to Qatar, to go to Oman. Some becoming the victims of human trafficking. Some they also end up doing some jobs there. But you know, my concern is that when trouble like this happen, are they getting a first priority? Are they treated fairly too? Especially those who find themselves in the Middle East. I've seen one video on social media. One of our African brother from Nigeria running to say, "I left the Nigerians because they are shooting each other with AK-47. Now these guys are using drones. And it's very interesting to see that there's no better place than home. And the best thing to do, make sure that, you do well at home. Make sure that you build at home. Because if you run to other countries, when trouble comes, you may want to come at home. And it will not be easy. But that should also tell us also to say, our African countries, our African leaders, the private sector, civil society organization, they must make sure that development in Africa, particularly food security, and also standing independent infrastructure development, should be a priority. Not only to spend more time in the boardrooms and more time in parliament debating, but real policies that can be able to develop us. Because when trouble comes, imagine people are fighting in the Middle East and it's you to suffer. Do you think when there is war in DRC, there is direct impact on UK, or direct impact on the US, or in China, maybe in terms of trade of minerals, but not to the people, not that they are not going home without eating, but what will happen to us? And today we'll be in the conversation with the experts, particularly in terms of the trade and economics. From the hour of 7 there, we'll be joined by Joseph Ashehama, just to give us an overview to say in terms of trade, which trade routes, what is an alternative, and also what aspects need to be done, particularly in terms of having a backup strategy, because the economic strategists who are making sure that Namibian economy is defended. We are just about to build our economy, and that is what we are always indicating to say. When you have problems at home, do not think that the world will wait for you to build your facilities, or the world will wait for you to make sure that you have food security. But you need to make sure that while you are dealing with global impact, you are also making sure that those who are at home are also not only benefiting, but they are taken care of. And what will happen? Because if the trade route hit the supply to China, hit the supply to Russia, to the Middle East, to our South African neighbor, to the US, then those who have oil reserves, those who have oil infrastructure, are the one who are going to make money, because war can also become an opportunity to some, particularly in terms of trade. And oil is a very important commodity. You cannot live without it, and you'll be expecting the ships to be standing there in the ports. But let's see and look at what will happen, particularly moving forward. And remember, today the Villager newspaper is out. Then you'll be able also to get content of what is happening in the Villager newspaper in terms of development at home, in terms of advertisement, and in terms of opinionated articles to say how can we develop this country, and also what is a better way, what is the best way to develop the country. Because in the time of trouble, in the time of economic shocks, in the time of war, that is where the country we need each other most, especially to make sure that we survive like we have been surviving, but not only about surviving, but also making sure that, you know, we are living. And there's a lot of condemnation of war. You see, the African Union is condemning. South Africa is saying the war must stop now. When you look at the U.S., they want to call the Congress to declare unconstitutional declaration of war. And what will happen going forward? Because every morning you wake up, this rocket's been fired. But what is interesting also to see is that this war is not only in between Iran, Israel, USA, and the neighbors. When you look at Pakistan and look at Pakistan and Afghanistan, everybody also having also on each other. When you look in Iraq, you see that angry protesters, they also stormed into the embassy in the US embassy in Iraq. Then you look at Pakistan, you can also be able to see that part of US embassy Pakistan in Karachi there, it was burnt by the angry mob. And they'll see that what will happen is going to be a regime change in Iran. And what is the response of over 90 million people of Iran, and also the spillover, because countries such as Turkey, they are very angry. They are very angry because they are saying they want they want the negotiation now, because Turkey has always been the receiver of many Middle East, either it's refugees or immigrants. That's why they were celebrating when Syria, the president of Syria was upset because it was the beginning of the end of war. But they are speaking about the long-term impact of war. It's not only about who won, because it's a saying to say, it's a saying also to say, when it comes to war, the prolonged war can also defeat those who win, who think they win, because you are putting a lot of resources and your soldiers also losing their lives there. And we have to see how this day is going to be. But the question that we should ask ourselves is that how we are concerned with global affairs, how we are concerned with who is right, who is wrong, which side are we supporting. And there's a lot of psychological warfare going on, particularly in terms of information dissemination. And to say, yes, the world is fighting. The world have been fighting. People have been dying all over the continent of Africa. Then the question has always been to say, what do you do at home to make sure that your people eat, to make sure that you have strong infrastructure, to make sure that you can make your own food, to make sure that when it comes to your own people, they are getting not only jobs but meaningful jobs that can be able to look into the future. Unlike we are condemning, but what are we doing? Because we also have a war that we are fighting, the economic warfare that we are fighting at home. We also have economic warfare that we are fighting at home. Say, when it comes to unlocking the finance to domestic markets, what are we doing? If we start now chasing pedestrians and it's interesting to look, start chasing the vendors from the CBD. And when you chase them from the CBD, you locate them somewhere far, or you don't locate them at all. What will happen if when the price of food go down, are they not going to be our first suppliers? Are we not going to look at them also to say, guys, come back, because here the situation on the ground is not conducive, and there is a lot of things happening. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll also be able to look at continental news before we'll be able to engage with our guest from our 7 day. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana unongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitiramo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushe indife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana unongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitiramo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushe indife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop and looking at what's happening in the continent of Africa. It was indicated that the former Tunisian Prime Minister was jailed for 24 years for assisting jihadists to travel in Syria. And the former Prime Minister of Tunisia, Ali Lalayeh, saw his initial 34-year jail term reduced to 24 years on Thursday evening for allegedly aiding Tunisian jihadists in traveling to Syria. And this is a former Prime Minister. He's not a former minister. It's a former Prime Minister. And late on Thursday evening, it was official. Ali Lalayeh received a 24-year jail sentence for aiding or assisting Tunisian jihadists to travel to Syria during a Syrian war, a case known as Tafi. The appeal court of Tunis was firm in its decision, which lowered the final sentence by 10 years, because initially he was given 34 years, but it was lowered to 24 years. And this is somebody who has been a prime minister, and he was found guilty of assisting, jihadists to travel to Syria for war and to travel to Syria, participating in that Syrian war. Syria is one of the countries in the Middle East too, which has been also, not only prone to war, but the longest civil war. And those are some of the development, say, but a former Prime Minister of Tunisia, sentenced for 24 years. And we have seen a trend of former leaders in Africa getting jail terms, especially when it comes to things that they've done during operations, during their time also in power. And the other news stated that the U.S. lift sanctions on senior Malian officials, the official from Mali, were given sanctions. Those sanctions were lifted. To say United States on Friday, sanctions on several senior Malian officials were eased following the penalties that were previously imposed over their alleged ties to Russian mercenary group Wagner. And these individuals, these people whose sanctions are lifted, including the defense minister, Sadio Camara, as well as military official, Aloubio Diara, and Adam Bangayoko, according to the notice that was given by U.S. Treasury Department. And they were targeted over the accusation that they had facilitated the deployment of expansion of Wagner activities in Mali. And for you to know, Wagner is a military contractor, or other definitions. It's called the mercenaries, a group of mercenaries that is attached to Russian military force. And it's working independently, but in conjunction or linked to Russian military influence. And it has been at the center of fight, particularly in Ukraine. It has been one of the group that has been at the front line. And this is also the same group that at one point almost revolt against Russian army, and they were accusing of being mistreated during the war in Ukraine, and they were accusing also Putin of not giving them enough weapons. But currently, as you are speaking, it's indicated to say the report, especially by AFP, indicates that now it's in the control of the Russian defense, especially when it comes to its activity either in Russia, in Ukraine, or in Africa, because it's also one of the military contractors which have been helping Africans fighting jihadists. And jihadists has been there for quite some time now. We are yet to see what will happen, and also how the developments are going to be. And while we are there, again in apart from Tunisia, no, apart from Tunisia, former president, sorry, former prime minister. Apart from Tunisia, former prime minister, been given 24 years in jail. You know, what's happening in Nigeria is that the court in Nigeria have added terrorism charges, and that is to the former or ex-justice minister, that is Justice Minister Malami, stated that the court in Nigeria has ended terrorism charges to allegation facing the former Justice Minister Abubakar Malami. Malami served as an Attorney General and Justice Minister from 2015 to 2023 there. And I think this is a period of Muhammadu Buhari. He previously accused of money laundering, of laundering around 6 million alongside his wife and son. On Tuesday, the Federal High Court in Abuja charged him with knowingly terrorism financing by refusing to prosecute people suspected of backing insurgents, and Malami and his son were also charged with engaging in commit of act of terrorism by having unlicensed pistol ammunitions at their home. They are both pleaded not guilty, and Malami was granted bail last month in money laundering case, but rearrested shortly after his release. That is the former Minister of Justice in Nigeria, and his terrorism charges ended to his case. And you have to see how the development is going to be. They stated that Nigeria has for decades have been battering insurgency that has left more than 40,000 people died and driven nearly 2 million others from their home. You see, Nigeria being also one of the biggest countries, or the highly populated country in Africa. And when you look at the population of Nigeria, it's over 260-270 million people. It's almost the population of SADC. But you'll be able to see, that over 10 years ago, in 10 years, it's over 40,000 people died, or some nearly 2 million others were driven from their homes. And if you speak about 2 million people being driven from their home, you realize that to say almost the whole Namibian population, almost that, because if you remove 2 million people, that is a huge number moving around, around the continent, and some they left because in the time of trouble, that we have the private jet is the one who is flying off first, that we have money and the passports which are ready, those are the ones who are flying out first. Why are you even struggling to find out where you are going to get your next meal? That's why those who are in poor condition and those who are disadvantaged, particularly economically, are the ones who have to suffer the consequences of this. That's why most of the cases, women, children, and also those who are not able to protect themselves, and those who are not able also to have the means to travel, because for you to run away, you also need to know where you are going to stay. But that's why we are always indicating to say there's no better place than home. That's why what is needed is only to make sure that home is built, home is is prioritized, and also to treat ourselves with red carpet too, so that we can be able to have a coherent, well structured and well balanced society. And there is another bad news coming from Kenya, to say a Kenyan lawmaker is among the 6 people who died in a helicopter crash. It was stated that a member of parliament in Kenya was among 6 people who died after a helicopter crash in Kenya on Saturday. It is described it, described by the aviation and also the police in Nigeria to say the plane crashed due to bad weather. The helicopter went down minutes after taking off and burst into flames in Hiri area, that is Nadi County, and that is west of the country. And the police chief Samuel Mukusi said all six people on board had died. Among the dead was a lawmaker, that is Johanna Angeno. And the investigation are continuing. The investigation in the crash had begun, and that is exactly what happened. And the parliament speaker, Moses Watengu, has described the deceased, particularly Johanna Angeno, as a devoted legislator who is committed for seven of the people. And the question is always, when in Africa, we are saying the investigations are continuing. Is it now the full stop, or there will be a report being presented? But we also want to see, in most cases in Namibia, something happened. Then you are also wondering to say, do we still have people who are investigating this? Because we still have people who are investigating this because something happened. Something happened, and saying no, the investigation are continuing and police are on it. We have opened the file. The case number has been opened, and our people are busy investigating. It is a thing of saying things have come to the conclusion, or because we have a lot of crimes to look into. But those are some of the things that we need to look at. It's 49 minutes past the hour of 6. We are doing very well in terms of time. And you can still engage us in the studio to air your view, ask your questions, and give your contribution at 083 to 888-401-083 to 888-401. And we're indicating to say, in 10 minutes time, we'll be in communication with an independent economic researcher, especially to look at the situation of the trade of oil, to say for how long can we sustain without the supply from the Middle East, and do we have other alternative where we are also able to get oil? And I'm also going to ask the question of, is it now the right time to speak to Angola, not only as our brother, but also our greatest trading partner? Because, you know, one of the things which really saddened me, or maybe which also make me to ask question, is an aspect of saying, when you look at Angola, for example, this is the country which, you know, we have shared common history. They are not only our neighbors, they are our brothers. We have shared common culture. But when it comes to the volume of trade, you look at the top 10 Namibian trading partners, you are hardly seeing Angola. And you really need to look into that to say what can be done, especially to you know, intensify the trade with Angola. And maybe investing too. Maybe investing too in their oil and gas expansion. That's why when you look at other countries such as Zambia, they have put their shares, you know, and they're going to refine their oil. Then you realize to say that is the time that we'll be able to think. That is why so it's necessary to make sure that you have good neighbors. You need to make sure that you have good neighbors. And neighbors, don't be like Iran. Because Iran now, when he's fighting, when the people that they share salt in the time of need, these are the people that are based the American military, particularly that which is fighting Iran. And you also need to be careful. It's also teaching you about the human behaviors and principles to say. Sometimes when a person want to destroy you, the person does not go far. Person just come closer to you. Person can go to your neighbor. Person can come to your loved ones. And also understand that, you know, you must be able to be good at understanding people. This person can be your neighbor. I'm not saying hate your neighbor. I'm just saying understand that when Iran is fighting, the neighbor is saying, why are you shooting at us? But the question is that the guy who is fighting me is behind you. How do you expect You are giving him, you know, a red carpet, and he's your friend, and he's also saying to say, friend of my friend is my friend, but also friend of my enemy is my enemy also, and enemy of my friend is my friend. That's why Iran is saying, we are very sorry, but we do not have option. Because if you look at the infrastructure of Dubai, and you are wondering, especially those who go to Dubai, and these are some of the countries which are known to host some of the most super richest people, that you don't see them at Forbes, you don't see them at top rankings to say this is the richest person in Africa. But in terms of, you know, those who invade tax, it has been known for tax heaven. And the richest guys, they find themselves there. Not the African richest people. We speak about people who have money and resources. And those are the Middle East oil kings, or the oil oligarchs. They find themselves there. It's Dubai, it's Qatar, and many other countries. United Arab Emirates too. Say the Middle East is burning. And the question is that when the Middle East is burning, who is feeling the heat? Are we going to feel the heat, or is just overthinking? And if not, what can we learn moving forward? So stay tuned, because at the hour of 7 or from 7 today, we'll be also joined by Mr. Sheham, especially to look at that aspect. And the question that we are always indicating, and economists have always been indicating, is the issue of diversification, to say you have leverage, and you also have, a lot of alternatives. Because one person will be able to ask a question to say, in a situation where China is no more trading with us, or China decided to find a better partner, because you can't just be shining for every day, find a better partner or better offers. Or in a situation where South Africa is saying some of these resources become so scarce, I'm only going to increase the price, or I'm only going to trade it within a certain people. What would you do if, even in the 21st century, we have dependent in South Africa for over 50% of our commodities? Because South Africa is our number one trading partner. China is one of our top trading partners, in the top four. But we are not the top trading partner of South Africa, and we are not the top trading partner of China. They have their priorities. They have Canada. They have other countries. But this should also teach you to say, it's not about you being the top, but it's also about you finding other markets. It's also about you intensifying your trade, and also looking at home too. Because although the world is a global village, why do we have sleepless night now when the state of Hormuz is closed, and Iranian Navy, particularly from the Revolutionary Guards, they say that no one is coming in and out, no trade is happening. And there's an indication to say that at any given point in time, that Hormuz Strait has held, in an hour can hold 100 ships moving in and out of the Gulf, particularly transporting oil around the world. And it's the shortest route, particularly traveling the Middle East. And let's see how things are going to happen. And the question is that is Angola, is Nigeria, is DRC, is Sudan going to be the richest, one of the richest countries, particularly in terms of when the supply of oil become a demand in Africa? Because they will also be able to trade properly. But the question is also to say, the world is full of unpredictability. Because, reading the communique from, embassy of Namibia in Egypt, is to say the situation is unpredictable. When the situation is unpredictable and can escalate, can be, you don't know how it's going to be handled, or can also escalate to waste anytime. But the fact of the matter is that stated that the situation is unpredictable. And Mr. Joseph will just join us at 7:40 there due to some of the, you know, says the morning circumstances. He will be joining us at 7:30 there, but we'll be able to continue, and you know, we'll be able also to continue and also be able to give you particularly the context and also content of what is happening, especially regarding the newspaper, because this time we'll be able also to get the conversation will be after you know, 7. And stay tuned. We're going to short commercial break. We'll come back shortly and move forward.
What's not to love about the USAVE's special end of February combo? For just $589 Namibian dollars, you can get 10 kilogram bags of each of the following essential foods: Champion Super Maize Meal, Nice Rice Parboiled Rice, Bokoma Fit Cooked Flour, and Marathon Brown or White Sugar. That's just $589 Namibian dollars for 4 10 kilogram bags of essential products. Yes, we all save at USAVE.
Esira shisho, pagyo tadi kukwathere opovoro kara uasira ya kweni o chisho. Watu chitha na basic mental health first aid course. Haiganjua o shari chamhongi kwa mboka yeri iyo yo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na hene una okutongorora o madidiriko ugo petameko ugena sha nupiakadhi nenge o mathidakano wopama viraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anirong pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo ene una okuya kwa thera nukuya pa ea bidido yiri mwonjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere o unji na hene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na e hangono maradura thano ododina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you,
your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP will about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete o.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the early morning scoop, and we are looking at this decision of our neighboring country Angola, especially when it's looking at expanding its refinery. Expanding its refinery. There's not only having one refinery, but there's more than one. Angola is seeking a 4.8 billion loan from China for a refinery. And, you know, it's billion US dollars. And that will be able also to tell you the importance of refining oil, and also the question of what we are going to do in the future, and how is our trade with Angola, and how is our trade relations with Angola, especially when it comes to oil and gas. If I have a right to go into Angola and fill up my car at the cheapest price, what is so difficult for me to make sure that I invest in the development of that infrastructure, or I learn the technical know-how, or I make sure that the border trade is also based on that commodity, because it's one of the cheapest, and also when it's refined, particularly when development are happening, then you realize to see it's not only the project of Angola, but it's also a long-term project that can be able to assist not only SADC, but also other part of the world. And in the situation like this, the situation where our life depend on the Strait of Hormuz, is now the time maybe to think of intensifying that trade, and also to think of investing into that, because there is no better thing than investing in the future. Because when you look at country like Singapore, it's not go and read, it's not the founder, or it's not the president of Singapore, or the Prime Minister of Singapore, who has initiated those developmental models. It's not him who have enjoyed the fruit of that. He initiated the process, and it took 20 years, took 25, took 30. Then where the country is now, is wherever you go in any other country in the world, in the case study of development studies, in the conversation, there is always a discussion of saying, look at Singapore. Then the question is that, what are they saying about Namibia? What are they saying about our country? What are they saying about, you know, what we do in terms of development? Have we ever been in the case studies of any development class? You look at international development. Look at global economics. Be able to realize that in any case study of development that you see, you'll be able to be given that name, that is Singapore, but it's the greatest investment that they put into the future. But the interesting part of that country too is that it does not have resources like we do. But why do we have resources and we are still sleeping? Why can't we just, while we are busy dealing with domestic affairs, let us put that money into a long-term project? And why can't we invest? What happened really when we're given that chance also to get some of the shares? I remember in 2026, Zambia secured 26% stake in Angola Lobito Oil Refinery Project, and the agreement aimed to enhance energy security, reducing fuel cost by up to 15%. And we see, I was looking at the report by my colleague Lois Eshimi, especially looking at referencing the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy, particularly keeping the price of oil where it is. And the question is that is it going to be kept where it is in the next 2 weeks? Or is just temporary due to what is happening? Or do we have a strong energy fund that can be able to subsidize? And that will also be able to indicate to us to say, countries such as Zambia, they become so pragmatic because they invest to say, we are buying 26% shares in your refinery, and that will reduce 50% cost and of fuel and energy. And in terms of long term, Zambia are gonna have a stable trade of oil. And looking at Namibia, we have been in an economic defensive mode for quite a very long time. We have been defending. If our economic game plan is could be compared to how we played yesterday, we'll be able to realize that having a strong forward is like having strong economic strategist who think beyond the obvious and also invest in the long term. Because if you look at the past 2 to 3 years, then you look at the report from the Minister of Mines and Energies and Industry, you'll be able to see that in most cases, there has been continuation of subsidization. It's the economy of subsidization. And money you put in subsidization is not money that you lose. That is money that you put to protect your people. But for how long are you going to be protected instead of us moving forward in terms of attacking the economy for a positive use, unlike just being on an economic defense mode? And can we subsidize Hormuz trade road? Let me say we get another road. Can we subsidize that impact? And those are some of the questions that I would also like to be answered in the situation where people say the situation where the oil price can increase, let me say, by 15%, are you still going to continue subsidizing, or you are still going to have negative impact on the market? Because remember, when the oil price increase, the taxi driver will also say no. Well, maybe the price will go to 20 or to 30. Depends on the situation, because it's about calculations. While you pay for fuel, then you also anticipate what those fuel will bring to you. And it's dangerous, but it requires a different plan, a better plan on protecting the economy. That's why we'll be speaking to an economist that is from the hour of 7:40 there, because the last 20 minutes will be that of our discussion. Let's go to a short commercial break. Then you look at the Villager newspaper for today. What do we have in the Villager newspaper? And remember to like, follow, and share our page. That is Eagle FM Namibia. And also make sure that when it comes to the Villager newspaper, click that link, subscribe, and make sure that we have that constant communication when it's coming to economic affairs and things that affect our bread and butter. So let's get a short commercial break. Then you look at what is in the content of the Villager newspaper for today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Nipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe odite okoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito tanjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda do inawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi finawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pada fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heavy nola natu heavy bali no heavy ile konderewa Bora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM, lets you express your constitutional rights.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe, and looking at on top of... Top of the Village, a newspaper for today, is that 150.9 billion of private capital invested in government debts. 150.9 billion of private capital invested in government debts, and that is what is it telling you, especially when it comes to debt of the country, and also to see how much money is invested in debt security. According to Bank of Namibia, domestic debt security updates, domestic lenders have invested 150.9 billion of their saving into government to date via bonds. That is what has been stated. Make sure that you get content and read the Village News from the first page. And you also look at page 2, especially when you look at that conversation. Page 3, there's a manager site at Namibi Poultry. If you want a job as a manager at Namibi Poultry, make sure you look at our paper, page 3. Then you look at what is the primary purpose of that position, management of stock site. What is the primary purpose of that position? Then you also look at responsibilities. Don't do what you cannot do. And if you are able to do, don't just stay there. Go and do it. And looking into this, you'll be able also to see qualification CA's experience within poultry industry and farming operation. That will be highly advantageous. Then you look at 4 years of relevant working experience and just a grade 12 NQF level 4. And in this context, if you want to work in Namibi Poultry, make sure that look at that very important, advertisement and see how you apply. And if you are not able, get information. Some people, they like doing things on their own. Get information, get clarity. Go to Namibi Poultry and also ask question or look at those communication, those numbers that are there for inquiries so that you'll be able to get that the job that you have dreamed about so much. Yeah, looking at page 4, it's a good news coming from Congo. Stated that Congo farmer harvest 30,000 mealies. Congo farmer affected, harvested 30,000 mealies. And looking at that, Shivute, Alinda Shikonda, farmer and the manager of Okongo Horticulture Association in Anguena region, provided the Village newspaper with an update regarding this year harvesting, that he has harvested about 30,000 mealies, that is maize, so far. And that is quite an excellent productive yield, and that should also be able to tell you about the situation of food security in Namibia, to say where people complain about food insecurity, there are those who are able to do it. And the question is that how can we collaborate and do it at a larger scale? Because being the best farmer is a good thing, but being the best or being united farmers can bring more productivity and more food at home, and also to feed the neighbor, because we can't just be being fed by the world while we are not feeding the world too, apart from us supplying them with beef. We must be able to look into that. And looking into this context, stated that capital projects moved to SOEs, state-owned enterprise. It's quite a good move. And the question should always be to say, what is the differentiating factor? And how effective are those capital projects going to be, being realized? And to look into that, that is an article by Minovari Hangara that shows that the country's treasury has announced that it will move some of the implementation of capital projects to various state-owned enterprises, avoiding reduction in its location, operation, expenditure. And this was announced by state treasury and Rikasha Fuda in a national budget tabling last week. And to say this time now, to what extent SOEs are operating, are they in order? Are they operational? Are their governance in order? Or they are still punching each other on the face? But you really have those who are operating properly. You really have those who are, showing a good example. But a majority of our SOE is able also to achieve this. And I remember, I was also not happy, because beforehand we just spoke about the locomotives. But yesterday, when you look on social media, when you look at print media today, we're able to see that when it comes to locomotives in Namibia, they continue to go off the roads, off the rails. And you're asking yourself a question to say, what is the state of Namibia transportation, especially when it's coming to locomotives, when it comes to trains? Because in most cases what you see is unsuccessful stories. And I think I need to contact, our technician there. To contact Azavatrifa to say, you are a locomotive technician with experience. What really the cause is that they are old? Is the railway? Or is the driver? And looking into this, when you look at page 6, it stated that Namibia plays on FATF Global Grey List. Namibia plays on FATF Global Grey List to say recent updates indicating that Namibia is grey listed. And what is also interesting is that we are given until May, but we have addressed all the 13 deficiencies in all the 13 strategic deficiencies in our financial system, in our prosecution, in our operation, in the way we register and benefit on businesses. Then we are still on grey list, but we are given until May, because there is still an ongoing assessment which is done to say this reform, which are done only procedurally, only in terms of the laws, or these practical, a practical address of deficiencies, particularly when it comes to the financial system, and also protecting not only the integrity, but the reputation of the country. So for more, get the content of the article by Matthias Angala, especially when you look at page 6 of the Villager newspaper. Moving forward, Swelvicha University, that is at page 7, to say, Babicha University, go and apply for a certificate in workplace dispute resolutions, and also a certificate in telecommunication policies and regulations. You realize that some of these new courses are quite beautiful because they are specific, they are short, and they have content. So page 8 is that Kavango residents welcome to 10 million sport fields. Get my colleague from from Rundu there, from Kavango. Nakreta Ikera wrote this article. She's showing that residents of Mukwe and Rudrura constituencies have welcomed the allocation of 10 million for the construction of two new sport fields, a development expected to create approximately 45 local jobs during construction phase. And this is a quite a very important development, especially happening in Kavango. And remember that we need those facilities completed as soon as yesterday. We need those facilities because our Namibian football team, the Brave Gladiators, did yesterday. It was incredible. They don't just defend the country, but they made us proud the way they score goals. You know, and Banyana has been a champion. And realize to say, yesterday, they were not able to meet our strength. Even if you are training from incomplete infrastructure, what will happen then if those projects are completed and we have good infrastructure? Then it will be fire. That's what I'm saying. Next, we need Nigeria, and we need other countries too, so that we can show them that we can also play football and all those sports that include boxing too. Say we need the facilities, and this is what we call real development. And what we want to see is a monitoring in Namibia, and maybe not to repeat itself, to say we have a lot of groundbreaking, but few openings. Do you know why even an opening or handing over of three houses requires somebody of high status? Even an opening of 20 or two toilets, which is a good thing, but you see, it requires somebody of high status to come and say, no, this is our development. Because you know why? There is a lot of groundbreaking, but we don't bring those projects to the conclusion. That's why there's always an attention when one toilet is being opened or two in a certain constituency. But we want to see this stadium being built and not the other mistakes to be followed, particularly where you have those contractors not completing the projects given to them. Now, looking at industrial briefs, it stated that City of Windhoek to institutionalize joint working session with Commerce Regional Council. And that is what's happening, especially when we speak about working together. And the Bank Windhoek pledged 2 million to FMD, and they should do that, please. Bank Windhoek indicating that it's putting 2 million Namibian dollar for the fight of foot and mouth disease. And the other brief is that only 51% of milk is supplied locally, and the rest supplying outside. Page 10, there is an opinionated article. It's an opinionated article by Hinomino Variangara. And he asked a question that we are not illiterate. We are just economically illiterate. He stated that we are not uneducated, or we are not educated. We just not educated when it's coming to economics. We are not illiterate. We are just economically illiterate. What does it mean when it comes to economically illiterate? What mistakes do we do? What are we focusing on? And what are we doing? And it's quite a very important observation. Reading the content, you'll be able to realize that the strong view, especially when it comes to the economy. And you'll also be able to see that when somebody say you are not illiterate, you are just economically illiterate, why do we speak about our problems, speak about what you want, but we don't make a strong economic decision? So let us look at Express Credit, then we'll be able to continue and move forward.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right.
Ipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe njife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM. My friend, why do you seem so...
We are moving forward with what on top of the Villager newspaper, and in the next 8 minutes or so, then we have that conversation, especially looking at the trade, looking at the economy, looking at the economy of oil, and when the big boys of politics, when the big boys of global politics are fighting, when the elephants are fighting, what about us, Glass? How are we going to feel that pain? Because imagine people are beating each other, but the punches are also coming to you, even if you did not do anything. That is a real concern. That's why we are asking a question, how should we protect ourselves too? How should we make sure that when the big boys are fighting, that should not only just... that should not comes to us, but also to find a way to minimize that risk, because it's really an economic risk. Because what people do not speak about is that when it comes to Namibian economy, we do not want to admit that in 2025 the economy did not grow as it has been expected, and we are maybe the last in terms of domestic economic expansion. We may speak about no, our reserve came down because we have paid the bond, but what economic game plan did we do? What did we do? We cannot continue to say, no, now we cannot create the jobs because Iran and Israel and the USA are fighting, and our global, there is always an aspect of global pressure, which we understand, but what did we do within our control? Because today is Iran, tomorrow is Venezuela, next year is Argentina, for example. Then it's UK. Then you find yourself in 2063 already. Just speaking about global affairs, because we must have a strategy to say, how do we make sure that we invest at home? Because, for example, if you look at the value of Iranian currency, I don't know how these guys have been doing their economy. I think when you look at their central bank, I think they are using very complicated system of the economy, because a country of 90, country of over 90 million people, and it was sanctioned, and at the same time, if you look at their dollar now, their currency, which is the rail, it lost value and is at 0.00 to the US dollars, because if you have one US dollar, you have 1.7 million, rails. That is the currency of Iran. But the way they have been holding their economy, the way they have been doing their trade, the way they have also looked at the eastern part of the world, become part of that exchange, Russia and China are using, the de-dollarization strategy, did save them, because they have still continued, they still trade with oil, and they are still, be able to be where they are now. But when they are burning, when they are receiving a lot of rockets, when they are firing rockets, what is that has to do with us? And that's why, that will bring us to page 11 of the Villager newspaper, to say, go and buy your food at Vuman Block, where things are cheap. You don't know what the price will do, because what you do is, what you understand is that if that of which is predicted is really true, especially by economics, unless we have another strategy, if the oil price go up, everything will rise. And the drivers of Yangos and taxis will be complaining to say, no, you can't give me that amount of money, because I'll end up working for free because, of that situation. And they are saying in every war, there is a lesson to learn and there is an opportunity. And when you feel the impact is when you think to say, we were told, but now is that we should really invest in ourselves, not only to speak, but also to be practical on what we do. So go to Woman Block, get your Bug Pro Fat Cake Water Wheat Flour. Get your Bug Pro Fat Cake Wheat Flour at $142.99. That is your 10 kg. Your Super Maize Meal. Your Champion Super Maize Meal. The 10 kg is just at $104. And your Kadira Chicken Mixed Portions just at $194.99. And quality select cooking oil at 2 liter, just at $74.99, and you will be able to enjoy yourself. Buy your groceries. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. Make sure that you buy your food and be able to see, and continue reading, because the updates are not only on social media, but it's also good to compare what international news updates. Look at advisories and communique. The most important thing is to look at the websites of countries, Look at how countries are communicating to their citizens. Read also Namibia. Also, there is a government website, particularly international relations. So what is the communication out there? What is the communication out there? What are they saying about their citizens? Because the priority now in the Middle East is that everybody is watching the, to say, how should I move my people out? And also maybe the lesson to learn to say, let's build at home. Let us not run away from home. Because if we are better in Namibia and we are updating to Iman Dubai, to Iman Qatar, to Iman United Arab Emirates, which is a good thing. Nobody wish bad things to happen. But sometimes life, what you're running away from, will continue to chase you wherever you go. Because you want soft life. Now, any point in time, anyone in the world want to come to Africa, where we are now running, where we have been running away from Africa. Because no matter those circumstances, you realize that we continue to be most peaceful. We may fight each other with AK-47, but we are not destroying each other's schools like what is happening there. It's worse. Because the firepower that happened in 1 hour, if you have to compare it to the war 50 years ago, that is something that could happen within a year. The contribution to climate, and I really want to see, especially when it comes to climate change, particularly the same states that were saying there is global warming, the same state that are also saying, and the same state, you know, the interesting thing about this war is also teaching you about human beings to say, we may end up contradicting ourselves based on our interest. You realize to say international affairs, look at countries' interests over international laws. Because if you look at World Economic Forum, when Trump said, guys, we are going to take over Greenland, it's belonging to America and all these things, everybody was saying, even the NATO member state, the EU, were saying, no, please, Trump, don't do that. Prime Minister of Canada made a very bold speech. I've never seen that speech before, particularly at the World Economic Forum. But what happened? Now he's saying, no, Iran is the greatest threat. Now, what will happen when it's happened to Greenland? And what is the view when it's happening to, when it's happening to Ukraine? And what is the view when it's happening to, when it's happening to Ukraine and when it's happening to Venezuela? And what is interesting is that the same international law of independent sovereign state is the same international law which is being not seen. Because what happened in Venezuela, what's happened in Iraq, what's happened in Ukraine, what's happened in Libya, what's happening in Iran, it's actually not different. It's almost the same case study, but different actors. Then you understand that different views and different interpretations also. But yeah, that is what we need to look at. So let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to look at Joseph Shahama, especially from the economic ground.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamoili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal. fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipuramenge no wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudini dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fada fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onoreka tuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your
we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and in a short period of time, and we'll be connected with Mr. Joseph Kefasa, who's an economic analyst, and just to look into the content of oil price, where is Namibia standing, and how things will be, especially when it comes to economic affairs and the war in Iran and also the neighbors, you and also Israel and USA. Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. Mr. Joseph Shahama, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop. Hello? Yeah, Sister Mika, we lost time. However, we'll come back shortly because we really need to know on what will happen in terms of price and what can we do.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Yes, Mr. Shahama, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yeah, good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking time. I know you are a very busy person, and it's a Monday. Were you celebrating Namibia title when you won?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is the most important thing that I need everyone to see. Everyone to, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, now apart from our celebration, let us look at the future of trade, particularly after or when this war is going on. We see the Middle East is burning. At one point we spoke about the state of Hormuz, but we just, especially yesterday, when Iran naval indicated that nobody can come in, nobody can come out, and we also see some shipment burning there. How the question is that how are we connected to this as Namibia, or is it just speculation, or our trade directly depend on supply from the Middle East? How is that in terms of oil and the future of Namibia?
That's actually a very good question. And really it is unfortunate looking at the current developments and the escalation, and I might reduce some disappointment looking at Iran and Israel and USA, instead of having a very meaningful contribution, in terms of being the well-being of the people and the well-being of the economy. Looking for Namibia, for instance, if I can just give you a rough estimated total import that we imported from the Gulf country, so it was plus minus 1.6 billion Namibia dollars, and meaning that Namibia, we depend more on the Middle East, and what is good for the Middle East is that it's also good for Namibia, and what is that that unfortunate that is going to happen, and you have spoken about the Strait of the Strait of Hormuz. That can, if you can remember, the history tell us that plus minus 20% of oil, so it's going through that that canal. So now just mention now 20%, and also remember what Russia is the main supplier of fuel as well, and is also the geopolitics. So it is very, very painful, and we are going to feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there is last week the price of oil maintained the standard, and looking into this, how long do you think it would take, and what can we do? Do we have another alternative? Because if that is 20% of global oil, then it is stated here that at Venezuela is they have around 17% of oil reserves there. And then what will happen when that happen? Is it the price? Everything is going up. Do we have an alternative based on that, or we still have to wait and see?
Yeah. You say when this kind of things happen, so there is always, I believe there is always what you call it, the potential for knockout effect on fuel prices. Mm-hmm. And also remember the risk sentiment and also the global economic stabilities. Mm. So because we are so interdependent to each other, that is what we call ourselves as a global village.
Yeah.
What Namibia can do, but that is unfortunately in the medium. So we are going to feel the we are going to feel the pain. Mm. But Namibia, in the meantime, where we are also in Spain, if the war continue to escalate, so Namibia can now try to mitigate, and maybe I'm not sure if we have enough fuel reserves. And also, what Namibia need to do is that we need to think about diversifying ourselves or partners, not only to have a concentration or partners. At the end of the day, when something happens, then obviously we are closed out. And also what Namibia can do, we can also look at the prudent price risk management, and also see that how faster can we make investment within our domestic And also remember there's a green hydrogen which is supposed to pick up for many of that now for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And and the renewable energy will actually help us to reduce our long-term import in what we call it, dependency. So, but everything, it starts with the lawmakers and how they actually engage the economists and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we assess our country
mm-hmm.
so that we cannot feel that, okay, the other part is down.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I don't want to pay a price per liter of fuel. Plus $40, and I can tell you, it can happen if this escalation continues.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we need to understand that we talk about those the Gulf countries who are also affected. We talk about Oman, we talk about Saudi Arabia, we talk about Qatar, and so on. And if the fuel affected, then obviously Saudi Arabia is the main supplier part of the OPEC. That is going to, we are going to feel the pressure. The pain will not only in the Middle East, but the pain will across the globe.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at, because these guys also spend some time in the reconstruction of their infrastructures and all these things. Now, because the price is going, if the price goes up, We understand that it will affect the price of all the commodities because the taxi drivers will not want the $13. They want maybe 50 for one trip. How do you think, Namibia will survive this in terms of, where we are now as a country? Can you maybe go, can you maybe now, maybe, say sorry in Gungura, we can also talk to Angola now that the situation, why is too early? Or what do you think in terms of that?
Currently, looking at our current economy, and even if we have anticipated that our growth GDP for 2026 will be between 3.1%, which is actually not enough, you know, to absorb some of the uncertainties or even to reduce unemployment. And if we look at our deficit as well, which is, I think it's 5.5 billion, if I'm not mistaken. And this kind of thing, now keep in mind that, when there's a geopolitical war, so even if we decide not to go and borrow money, so it will be very expensive, you see. And that is a challenge. And also due to the fact that, we are not oil producer, and I don't know if we are also getting oil from Nigeria and so on. I don't know if we have a trade relationship with them. You talk about Gungula, illegal, but obviously we have also to think about our neighbor Angola and maybe build a sort of like a refinery infrastructure somewhere, maybe in Oshkango or just between the border there. So that at the end of the day, Angola benefit and Namibia also benefit because, and remember, the oil is very important. So you can't do anything. If the oil increase, you expect that, currently Namibia and sometimes they cannot even, cannot be able to afford even $13. So, and look at this, and when there's a global, war, there will also be a sort of like import inflation. And this import inflation, it will also compound to our local. And that will see the price of wood will go up, the price. Because if the price of oil shoot up, then obvious other commodities, they will follow. So because that is what drives the economy.
Now, as an economist, why are we not, trading directly with Angola? Are there any contracts bounding us? Because 2025, last year, Zambia has acquired 23 stakes in the Rebito refinery because they are looking at their future. But why our trading with Angola is still small, regardless of Angola being our brother and they share common history?
You see, it's not a big challenge, but the challenge that I can remember, it is due to the higher cost, and also I think there was they mentioned about the higher cost and also the risk business environment, which is now, there is a lot of red tape. Mm-hmm. And, also people talk about, poor infrastructure.
Mm.
And, but as I explained that, yes, Angola is closer to us and we have been, a good friend for many years. And nothing will actually stop us or stop Namibia to develop what we call now the poor infrastructure in Angola.
Mm.
It was just for them to put money together and develop that infrastructure, so that is going to what we call it to benefit all the countries.
Mm.
Instead of us relying on over three countries and seeing that our partners or African people, they are not trustworthy. But I can tell you,
mm.
it is about creating that a sort of a positive relationship and as economists, I believe in economic diplomacy and so on.
Mm-hmm. Just the last one. I don't want to put you on the spot. You are a well-known economist. You have international exposures and experience in the field. I want you, if you have to advise, just your general view, particularly based on your expertise, if you have to advise, for example, our ministers of industry, mines and energy, what is the best two things that you can do in the next 2 weeks to make sure that we maintain, the standard of operation? We are not knocked down so fast by what's happening in the Middle East.
Oh, yes. My advice to the Minister of Trade and Industry is that what I'm thinking now is that let the Minister mitigate the current challenge that we are facing.
Mm.
And when I'm saying the current challenge we are facing is that let us look at our fuel reserves. Do we have enough fuel reserves, maybe in Walvis Bay and somewhere? Do we have, can we build a sort of, I know that it costs a lot of money and it's not budget for.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when it comes to some of the serious, issues which drive economy, I believe that what the president of Botswana says, no, don't bring to me a lot of, red tape. I want the thing to be finished now.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot finish the thing within 5 years. It must be done now if it is, if it has something to do with the well-being of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, minister need to think about this, to enlarge or to enhance the fuel reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And also what is important is that I know, it's very short.
Mm.
So, he needs also to think about to diversify, that is now partners. And, the other thing, as I said, the prudent risk management, is very important.
Mm.
And also, what is important is that, let the minister also look at, how faster can our oil and gas, start to kick in, instead of, just delaying and, we find ourselves in this kind of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So that is in the medium to long term.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I think the minister can now start to plan.
Is pumping more money into energy fund going to protect us?
The challenge is that now, how much means of mines and energy? I don't know.
I'm just saying. Okay. Okay. So, Mr. Joseph Shahama, thank you for your time and thank you for your input. It's just because of time and would engage you more moving forward. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much for input.
No, you are welcome, my brother.
All right, sir.
Thank you. Mm, bye.
Okay. Yeah, that is it and more. And that will bring us to the end of our conversation. I'll leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe. Bye-bye for now. And see you around.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not.